everybody, to the new episode of Sip the Sauce. I'm your host, Lydia, and this is our championship football episode. Today, I am joined by, from my left to my right, I have Becky.
Hi.
I have Gronko.
Hola.
And Katie.
I don't know how to follow that up.
And Tom.
Hey, guys.
So, we all just finished watching the big show. We had four quarters of uninteresting football. My opinion, it was a dull, dull game. It just was like the perfect ending to the COVID 2020 season. It was unexciting. I mean, last week we really wanted Patrick Mahomes to pull this out. Brady came out kicking ass and taking names. I mean, it's just the Chiefs broke down. I mean, they broke down like the Texans. I mean.
Yeah, they disappointed.
I mean, Brady sipped on that sassy sauce before the game started. Because the whole game, he seemed so amped up. More amped than usual.
I've never seen him like that when he was a Patriot. Like, he wasn't getting in no one's face.
I've seen him like that.
Like, during... Really?
Yeah.
No.
He's a little extra, though, for his ex-girlfriend, uh-huh. Bill Belichick, though, you know.
I mean, you know when they won, Belichick, like, kicked something around him and had some choice words for the TV. He was not happy.
You think he watched the game?
Probably not.
No?
Probably
not. How could
not.
You be a football coach and not watch the big game?
Yeah.
I just don't see that.
I think he refused to watch it, but I'm sure he had a bajillion text messages.
You know it would be really cute if Bill Belichick held a grumpy cat? Like, yeah, they both have the same exact facial expression.
I've already seen a meme with Belichick as the crying Jordan, and they're like Belichick watching the game.
Gronko, did you post that?
I did.
That definitely looked like a Gronko post when I saw the crying Michael Jordan, because that's what he does. So, I mean.
Anybody else have any thoughts on the game, or should we move to
the most interesting and exciting but sad part of the game was the Holy Trinity smash on Mahomes with the
near the end.
Near the end, I couldn't believe that. Like, I was like, wow.
That was really taking over. That was way extra
insult to injury right there.
They gotta show who's boss.
No reason. Yeah, they did.
Show that baby goat.
Yeah, show the baby goat. You ain't a goat.
Mahomes did try hard.
He didn't get very far.
Yeah, he did not get very far.
It didn't really matter.
Are we going to say any nice things about Brady or Gronk? Mm-mm. Or we just...
I bet Brady's already got his MAGA hat on in the locker room.
We don't know.
We know.
Where he's going to celebrate.
We know.
We know he's on the first private jet to Mar-a-Lago. To, you know, as the rest of the team went to Disney World and he went to Mar-a-Lago's, because where a douche can be a douche.
Well, Kansas City, they shot themselves in the foot with their boneheaded penalties that cost them. I mean, it's hard enough to, you know, spot Brady all these yards, but
that
you give
one,
him time and time again.
That pass interference at the beginning, I swear the guy slipped.
He did.
Brushed his hand on the receiver.
That shouldn't have been called. That was bad.
But I didn't realize that if it was pass interference, you can't go back and review the play.
Well, remember a couple years ago, they had the controversy on that New Orleans Rams Super Bowl.
Right.
And they changed it the year after. And they allowed you to challenge a pass interference call.
And it went nowhere. Yeah.
Everybody hated it. Hated it.
They didn't hate it. It's just that the officials never overturned it, even when it was.
Yeah, they hated that, basically.
Yeah, so they just did away with it.
Yeah,
they were like,
so they did away with it.
Yeah.
I mean, that was bad. I think that just started the decline. And
that was what, at the second
quarter?
No, that was
not
the first.
I thought that was
it might have been the second quarter, because in the first quarter, it was just like 7-3.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that's what like got it to like 14-3, and
got a little bit out of hand.
Avalanched after that.
Yeah, and I mean, they never protected Mahomes. It seemed like Mahomes was, every time he threw the ball, it was like 20 yards from where he started. He was having to run back and then having to throw it. So
I told you the X factor was the KC O-line beat up.
I thought Mahomes played decently. He like, what was it, the third quarter where he was, like, falling and he still threw it and it hit the guy's hands?
Yeah.
Like, how, I mean, he was going down.
That dick should have caught that.
The guy was probably so surprised that he actually threw it to him.
But, yeah. From, like, whoa, it from, made it.
Like, basically being almost on the ground.
Yeah. Yeah.
Coach really was a good throw to be falling as you're throwing.
So with Brady getting number seven now, does he put it on two hands? Does he have some on the hand, some on the ring, some on the fingers, some toe on rings. The toes?
Wouldn't he have to, wear the Tampa Bay ring?
Yeah.
No,
I heard rings. They had a story out about how he still has very good feelings towards New England and the Kraft family. And, you know, conveniently, Belichick's name was left out of most of the rest of
it's
the
like
good
when you
feelings.
Break up with an ex, but you liked their parents, you know? You
exactly.
Yes.
Like, I'm not going to be rude to them.
Exactly.
Yeah, they did nothing wrong.
They did nothing
wrong. It was that bitch, you know?
But luckily, the halftime show was just as good as the game. Or...
I
don't know, Gronko. Tell us how you feel.
I enjoyed the weekend's performance. I thought it was good. I just didn't necessarily think it belonged in a halftime Super Bowl.
Okay.
Do you think setting. He was trying to
what?
Send a message?
Probably, yeah.
Well, but I didn't get that message.
Well, yeah, what was the message he was trying to send?
What I thought was, so he's using, like, the choir, right? And they had, when they came into the, when the show started, you have these choir members with the red eyes.
Uh-huh.
So it almost reminded me of, like, when you go into Hollywood, everything looks, like, perfect and holy and, like, and then you see,
did
but
you
they're
see
actually like demons.
Them,
they're like demons underneath, mm-hmm. right?
I didn't get this.
Fallen angels.
Did you
demons.
See the words that were in the where the choir was?
I should have written
said
them
alone,
down. Yeah.
One said fear. There were two other. I saw four total.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just
remember.
What I got when
something.
I first
maybe
saw
I don't
the
have
image
an imagination,
when it came
but
out.
I did not
I was
get
like,
any
that's
of
what
that.
It reminded me of. In the city. And then you have all these fallen angels or, like, demons or these people that are coming to you as, like, holy, whatever.
Well, does it have, like, some, like, relation to his, like, Band-Aid stick that you were telling me about?
Yeah, I mean, then...
What is
well,
the,
whole
what was
thing.
The whole Band-Aid
well, that
thing?
They're so, you know, image-centric, like, plastic surgery, images everything in Hollywood. And, yeah, I don't know.
I feel like he went real meta on this. And I'm going to need some sort of synopsis on this because I didn't get much of it. I just know I almost got, what did they call it, seizures and a migraine
yes,
from
was,
the little
feeling nauseous in the House of
thing.
Mirrors.
The House of Mirrors,
should have
yeah.
been a trigger warning
there
on
should
that.
Have. Yes. They did a trigger warning for Lady Gaga because of the drones
right.
and everything.
They did.
So they
there
should have done
should
it
have
for this because that was hard to watch.
I couldn't.
Try.
It made me
I,
nauseous.
I just couldn't.
Cameraman MVP.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's probably because he put his $7 million and he's like, you don't need to worry about what I'm going to do. I'm going to do what I'm going
to
do.
So that is something important. To talk about is he put up $7 million of his own money into the show. Now something
showed.
I still don't know where it went. Was it,
not
was
in
it
the
choir?
Choreography at the end because
well,
those lines weren't straight.
Was it the choir all that all the money was going to?
The fireworks.
So I read the article while we were there, and they said they don't know what the $7 million went to. Was it pyrotechnics? Was it I guess. What do you call it? Employees or
my theory, the COVID test,
the COVID test. They don't know what the $7 million went to, but I mean, he's very public that it was his $7 million. So goes to I didn't realize that performers don't get paid for this because it's you know the performers they have are already very popular, so it's not like they're getting you know extra fans or they're not in it for that.
I don't know.
So I guess
I would
assumed
say,
money was part of it.
No, I would say
yeah.
I would say that it probably is for the publicity because
really?
Think about it. Even though a lot of them are super popular, the amount of people that watch the Super Bowl
on a global scale,
and like. The diversity of the people that watch the Super Bowl are not all necessarily the people that would be listening to the type of music that they're going to air on the Super Bowl halftime show. So, in my opinion, that's why they would do it, is for the publicity.
I don't think it was that great.
He hired Kanye's choir.
No, that was me. That was me, Lydia. I said he used the 7 mil to hire Kanye's little Sunday choir because he needs
Sunday
gospel, Sunday something. Sunday fun day, Sunday service, maybe. Yeah, no, not that.
Not that Sunday.
I mean, Kanye needs the money for the divorce. I mean, he was probably helping his friend out. I mean, that's where the 7 mil went, you know? I don't know. It was not the best. It wasn't the worst, but it
definitely
was.
Definitely not the worst, but it
not
was.
Not. The best.
I'm not gonna remember that.
No. So just to end this segment and put it in words, my father texted me and his comments were halftime, not good. And then he says, this guy could have stayed at home. Then he says, low budget entertainment.
$7 million budget.
And then he's a Tampa Bay fan, so he ended it with, but it's a good game. So I guess he was happy with the outcome of the game, but he didn't care for the halftime. And I think a lot of people will agree, and I cannot wait to see all the memes. I've already seen a couple memes, especially on BuzzFeed, that are hilarious. But that was, I think the whole evening was a miss. So let's roll into another Super Bowl topic. We've kind of hit about some of the halftime shows. So I want to talk about some of the cringiest halftime performances. So I found a video on good old Facebook, and it labeled several different, just bad performances. So I'm just going to run through the top five, and I want to hear what your take on it, if you even remember it. They're cringy because some, like, crazy shit happened, but also because they weren't that good. So it was from 2014. It was Bruno Mars, and it was his show. So he had a collaboration with the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And if you just look at the show, it was high energy. It was good. I'm a Red Hot Chili Peppers. I loved it. But then all of a sudden, it was like, hold on. Why is the bass guitar and the other guitar not plugged in? Why does the drummer look like he's not really doing much back there? And I mean, we all know Flea. He's high energy. Anthony Kiedis was like killing it. But then it came out like they were not playing real instruments. They were told by the NFL to just phone it in and only vocals. Did anybody remember this?
I do remember that.
I only remembered it after it was brought up. And I can say that I don't remember thinking, oh my gosh, because let's just face it. Generally, these people that get out there during these shows are lip syncing. Mm-hmm. I don't care what you say, especially if you're doing all the dancing and moving and stuff. There's going to be a good portion of it that's lip synced. But with saying that, to have somebody like Flea pretending to play a guitar when he can really, really freaking play, that's sad.
I can kind of see it though, just because I feel like there can be, like, hiccups with the instruments, you know? And when you're on a live show, you know, you just don't want to risk, like, something breaking or just
then
the
you,
sound.
Then they shouldn't, but the why sound would give not the band working. Such a hard time?
Why would they
it?
Do that for one show, though?
I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying.
It
like,
rained
I,
on I Prince, can, and can, he still stroked that
is that
guitar.
Like, is that on the cringiest moment?
No,
it is not.
It should be.
Hell no, it should not. Absolutely not. That was...
That
no.
was an amazing
historical.
Performance.
Prince's performed. That's one of the best.
I know a lot of people say that's their favorite Super Bowl halftime.
One of the full body chills halftime shows.
For some people, for others, it was a disgrace for America to put that.
Who?
Almost.
I don't think anybody felt that was disgraceful.
I was a little offended,
really?
And for anyone that had children witnessing that, I
wow.
I would.
2019, Maroon 5 did the Super Bowl, which, if you don't know what was going on at that time, it sounds like a very innocent thing. However, they had big shit going down, and that was the Colin Kaepernick, nobody hiring him. So because of all of the backlash that he received, not just from the media and just the people, he received backlash from the NFL, and he was essentially pushed out of the league. And so because of that, when the Super Bowl came around, a lot of celebrities refused to perform. And Maroon 5 was like, sure, we'll do it. Not thinking, you know, giving them the benefit of the doubt. They weren't thinking about the implications of this. And so it was cringy because it was really awkward. So, does everybody remember that?
I do remember that, yes. How many... I was trying to think of the people who turned it down. But I can't think of performers who actually turned down that show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Blue Ivy.
So it looks like Rihanna turned it down.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Riri.
Let's see. Jay-Z said no. Cardi B said
that's
no.
Right. I was trying to think. I thought it was Cardi B.
Adele said no.
Well,
I can't see Adele being a halftime show for the Super Bowl. That's.
I mean, they did get Paul McCartney.
I care.
Well, that was backlash to Nipplegate. We had a bunch of lame duck years after Nipplegate.
Yeah, I was gonna say I could definitely see it because like they've had U2 and just like.
Yeah. anyway, so then we have Outkast said no.
Oh, that would have been a good show. Pink. Was it in Atlanta or where? Where was that show at?
I don't remember. I think 2019 was Atlanta.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Outkast said no. Pink said no.
Wow.
Mary J. Blige said no. And then Maroon 5, when they said yes, they asked Mary J. Blige to come to stage with them, and they said no again. Ooh. And then, Usher said no. Nicki Minaj said no.
Usher probably had an STD.
And then Maroon 5 also reached out to Lauryn Hill. And what? She said
Lauryn
no.
Hill was going to show why up after the game anyway.
So looking at this list, if it was in Atlanta that year, did NFL sit down and say, okay, so we're going to push out Colin Kaepernick for standing up for his own beliefs, but we're going to go ahead and ask every black superstar that lives in Atlanta or within a 100-mile radius to kind of look past that and come on and play for us, do a little dance for us. Like, that's some bullshit. I could soapbox. I'm going to digress because that's some bullshit.
Right,
I know.
That's exactly what they did.
I mean, that's it. Like, we are, doing this over here, so let's get, a nice, respectable black entertainer to come and make it better.
Draw a bigger audience.
I'm just saying. At that point, was it still Roger Goodell at that point?
Yeah, he was in the league commissioner.
Okay, he could kiss my ass now that I know what happened.
Well,
next one we have. Oh, this was a good one. So, in 1989, they apparently we're not using superstar people. They were using just, regular Joes. And in 1989, they got a Elvis impersonator. Wow. But then he also did magic. So not only was he singing the hits of Elvis, but then he was making bunnies appear. He was making cards appear. He asked the entire audience of the Super Bowl to pick a card.
One card.
I'm gonna have to go find this video for real. I'm gonna find this video.
It does. It does.
Got to somewhere.
He asked them to pick a card, and all I can say is that was ballsy. Like he was talking to a creative director, and he was like, "Look, I am going to ask people to pick a card, and I'm going to know what these 70,000 fans are picking, because they're all going to pick the same goddamn thing."
Did they?
I don't know how it all ended.
Oh,
I did.
Well,
I mean,
you're mocking them, but
it could have all worked out.
Yeah.
Okay.
This might sound bad, but honestly, I would have probably rather preferred to see that over the weekend.
Wow.
Ooh.
Wow.
If you want to get me in the rankings of how I felt about the weekend's performance.
That's
like those card tricks.
Okay, number two was 2018, Justin Timberlake's performance. And then he thought he was doing something, and he had Prince on hologram. So, if you don't know, you're like, okay, whatever. But Prince spoke out very prominently that he thought it was wrong when they used holograms. And I guess it wasn't technically a hologram. They, like, showed his image on a sheet, you know? Like, he was behind, like, he was behind the sheet. But a lot of people, especially Prince loyalists, got real pissed off with that. Do y'all remember that?
I don't. Wasn't there a little rift between JT and Prince too? Because when Justin Timberlake said he brought Sexy back, Prince was like, well, Sexy never left. I'm still here. I don't know if y'all remember that.
I don't, but that would be great if
y'all remember that. That's a great comment.
Yeah. But so if there was a rift between them and he still used Prince's image.
The late Prince's image.
I mean, that's the only reason he used it, because it, was that the year that Prince died? Or had he just
oh,
it was
probably
I mean, it was obviously
a tribute.
Well, and he
said
tribute,
he didn't,
but
like you said, it was like a tribute.
Okay, and so
I think we all know what number one is.
Yes, number one is special. It's special to our hearts, being that we are hubbed in Houston, Texas.
Oh, Nipplegate, that's number one.
Number one is Nipplegate.
That was the most TiVo'd moment in history.
I can remember where I was when that happened. That's how big of a deal it was at the time, from what I remember.
I remember because it was 2004, and it was the first time we had had a Super Bowl in a while or ever.
I think ever, actually.
And I remember the show because she used the University of Houston marching band or drum line, and a guy that I went to high school with was in it, and he was standing right next to her.
Nice.
So like that was like the big thing, and that's what I remember. And then I remember her face when like when it was ripped off and the nipple was there, and she was like, and I thought it was so staged.
But it wasn't just full-on nipple. She had a nipple covered.
She had a nipple ring or
it was almost like a pasty, but it was metal. It was like a star or starfish or something that was actually covering it.
Correct. It was definitely staged.
Yeah.
Well, because it was right after that lyric too, where
But the
you happy nugget by the end of this song.
Yeah.
My titties
the pushback against Justin Timberlake afterwards, I don't know
Are
if it
you
was
fucking kidding
warranted,
me right
you know? Like, the guy was following.
I was
going to
say,
direction.
How did Justin Timberlake find himself in the top two on this list?
Twice.
Oh, yeah.
Twice.
Like,
he's
I'm surprised. More.
He's surrounded by scandal, apparently. Yeah. Let's see. After you watch the Brit thing, then we can talk.
I was honestly surprised they actually let him come back for that 2018 or whatever.
Well, he
showed
his image. It was
Where with
how?
Oh, they didn't see anything wrong with that.
Yeah, it was 14 years
Prince,
later.
14.
The Prince thing. I'm saying with Nipplegate.
He wasn't blamed for that at all.
Because
why?
He shouldn't have been.
He wasn't blamed for that.
You know damn
It all came down on her. I guarantee, just go look into it.
Wow. Yeah. Like, they showed a clip of Janet Jackson.
All of these complaints to the, what is it? The
FCC.
And FTT. Congressman.
I wouldn't blame.
Congressman, like.
I didn't blame Janet Jackson.
It all came down on
it
her.
It did. In the clip from Facebook, it shows her sitting on Oprah's yellow couch, the famous yellow couch. Like, I'm so upset and mortified. And this is like 2 years later. She was still
like,
answering
for it. Let's play it again.
Yeah.
We're just going to play it again. They just keep replaying
Now,
it.
What happened there? You can clearly see my boob is out.
I didn't think it was that.
I told Justin to rip off my clothes and expose my breast.
Oh my
that
God.
Was... You said it yourself.
I can't.
Bejeweled. She bejeweled her nipple
before she
went on air.
Pasties on, yes.
It wasn't pasties.
Well, it was metal. It was a metal pasty.
She's known to have nipple rings.
Yeah.
Like she has. But
I'm telling y'all, it wasn't just like a nipple ring.
But I think it was like a nipple ring cover, and then she had something covering like the air.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But yeah, it was a boob.
It was definitely a boob.
Glad we cleared Justin's name.
All right. Oh, okay. Yes. Thank God. Yes. Thank God Justin we cleared Justin's name. So can we talk about Disney now?
Yes. So that was Disney? The top five list, but Becky definitely has probably the cringiest of cringy.
Becky didn't agree with the top five, so she's throwing in an honorable mention.
No, I just looked at, like, I was trying to actually see what was considered
cringy.
The cringiest, and this one popped up, and I honestly don't remember this halftime show at all, but it was in 1991, so I can imagine I was somewhere watching the Super Bowl. I was in high school, but that was the year, I guess, that the Gulf War started, or had just started, so they had this all-kids halftime show. Top to bottom, all kids. And they started with this little boy announcer who did this whole spiel. And then they had all of these, this group of little girls run up. And they are probably between 8 and 12 years old, let's say. And they're wearing little cheerleader outfits, cute, cute. And then they run up on the stage and they start singing this song. That is, it's a real song. But here are the lyrics to the song. You've got to be a football hero to get along with the beautiful girls. You've got to be a touchdown getter, you bet, if you want to get a cutie to pet.
Wow.
Oh.
Seems like a first Catholic pastor's dream or something.
I think they like little boys. But that's what those little girls sing. And then it went even further. Then one of the football players, well, there was a person dressed in a football uniform, like, ran out with Minnie Mouse. And then Minnie Mouse started singing the lyrics with all of these kids. And she sang it in her Minnie Mouse voice.
They were innocent days back then.
So I looked up the actual lyrics to the song, because they said, you've got to be a touchdown getter, you bet, if you want to get a cutie to pet. The actual lyric is, if you want to get a baby to pet.
Oh.
Oh.
So they changed it to cutie because that was better.
Than a baby.
So I'm sorry, that's way cringier than any of those.
That is very cringy. Could you imagine something like that coming out? I mean, you'd have all the crazies, the
QAnon
would be like, this, of course this came from Hollywood
pedophiles.
Because they, you know.
The Hollywood Satan worshipping pedophile cannibals, right?
All of it.
Yep.
And, you know, they would start talking about little kids being pizzas and ranches and everything.
And armoires.
And they go back to Overstock.com selling, you know.
Wayfair.
There you go. Wayfair.
Don't put it Overstock.com like that. I mean.
So that, you know, kind of wraps up the Super Bowl performances, halftime performances. And so now we're going on to...
What would y'all say is your favorite one? All-time favorite.
Ooh.
Or do y'all not have one? I mean, obviously something that...
Prince is mine.
Yeah. That rises above all others is Shakira and J-Lo, right?
Can we all agree?
That's a memorable one.
But... No.
I really like Shakira's part.
Yeah.
I don't like Shakira at all.
I like Shakira.
Of course
I do
not.
Like Shakira. I love Shakira, but I just thought I was like, when J-Lo, I don't know.
The J-Lo I could have done without, and like having her kid up there and everything. It's not like mommy showtime at the Apollo. But I love the Shakira part. But if I had to like think, it honestly does go back to Bruno Mars. That was so much fun.
That was a really fun,
just looking back at the songs that he did. Like, it was energy. It was fun. I'm a Red Hot Chili Peppers fan, so even though their shit wasn't plugged in, I was like, look, everyone's having fun. I want to be there.
As a kid, the first one that I remember was Michael Jackson.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. So that stands out.
Which one did you pick?
Because of that. Oh, yeah. Do you have a favorite one?
Oh, man. I don't know. I mean, I'd say Bruno Mars, but I liked... I liked the Beyonce performance a lot.
I'm not a fan.
I liked...
Which one? How many has Beyonce done?
She's done like three. She did one as like Destiny's Child came on, I think, back in the day. And then she did... She's been on like three as like a...
I think she had one where she was the headliner. Headliner, and then like one where she was like a guest.
Wow.
My favorite was Lady Gaga, and then I'd say I liked the Katy Perry one,
too. Actually, yeah, I liked Katy Perry.
Even with the besides the sharks.
Okay, no, that was weird.
I like the sharks. I like that they've become really a meme. Good. I liked her riding on the big old lion or whatever the hell it was.
Okay, so now it's time for the question of the day. Gronko, please give us said question.
Okay, and you have to answer it first.
Oh, Jesus.
Would you rather be a star player on a losing Super Bowl team or a bench player that didn't play on a winning Super Bowl team? It's a one-off. This is the last game of your career and your only Super Bowl appearance.
Okay.
Now, you can be whatever star player you want to be. If you want to be the star quarterback, whatever, you know. But you're losing appearance.
I will warm the shit out of that bench for a ring. Because... if it's my last game of my career, I'm probably old, I'm broken, I've done broke stuff, I am just limping along. And I'm on this team and I'm going to walk away with a ring and a trip to Disney World. Damn straight I'm going to warm that bench. I'm going to come out in my little outfit. I'm going to sit there with the big jacket on. And I'm just going to sit there and say I have the best seat in the house. And then when we get to run out on the field, I'm going to run and put my hat on and my t-shirt. And I'm going to spray myself with champagne. And then I'm going to pull a Mr. Chow and say, adios, motherfuckers, and walk and go home.
They'll be like, man, I haven't done nothing. Right. I'll see you.
Can always see how she feels.
Wow.
Becky.
I'm not.
Now, when I say star player, you were like the MVP of the season, you know? You're like the top of the top.
Would you want to be Patrick Mahomes?
No, I understand.
Or Blaine Gabbert?
I get it. In this instance, so I love how enthusiastic that was to ride the bench, but you're still part of the team. You've got the ring. I don't know what else you can get from that, but I think in my mind, I would rather be Patrick Mahomes, who, like, you played your heart out, you had this great season, and you, like, by all accounts, you cannot say that he played a shitty game. You could say that about everyone around him, but you can't say that about him. So I think it's your last game with
that. It's your last game. I mean,
I would rather go out blazing like that, where you're like, you did your best, you tried your hardest, you had an awesome season, like, you can't help what everyone else.
You still get like a conference championship game, you know?
Sure. That would be my choice.
You get a silver medal.
I would just like to add, there's an insurance area in here. If it's your last game, you're leaving with a Super Bowl ring. If times get tough, you can pawn that shit.
Not even pawn it, you just eBay it.
There you go. You can eBay it.
If times got that tough, then you're going to have probably worse problems than pawning off your Super Bowl ring.
I'm just saying, those are some things to think about.
I mean, as the MVP, you could probably pawn off other stuff, you know,
Super Bowl ring.
Correct.
And we didn't talk about my prior career. Maybe I was.
Well, you
really
were a bench warmer your whole career.
Yeah. No, you did not say that.
I'm saying it right now. I'm telling you right now, there's a reason why you're on the bench. And it's because you were barely good enough.
That's why my choice is different.
Okay,
you did not.
You chose your career path. And it's on the bench.
That seat.
I choose to believe I had a great career, but I'm just old and I'm on the bench now.
You had a great collegiate career. Katie, what would you choose?
I kind of went down the same way as Becky, where, you know, if I'm a star player, I'm an MVP, it's my last championship, I'm going to give it my all. If I lose, I lose. At least I gave it my all, and I have a chance to get into the Hall of Fame after that. So that's kind of the way I look at it. Like, if my track record has been, I've been winning my whole life or my whole career, I feel like that's
your
more
only
rewarding.
Super Bowl appearance, though.
I mean, but there's plenty of people that don't go to Super Bowl Correct. That go and get into the Hall of Fame. Uh-huh. So I think I look at it like that.
Well maybe let me make you feel a little bit better, yes. Lydia, and I'll say that I'm riding with you.
Thank you.
We will sit on the bench together. Because a little bit different than you, maybe my outlook is a little bit more morbid, but I would say that from everything I've heard and read about players that have gone to the Super Bowl and lost and never won the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. that it like haunts them for the rest of their life. And even if I was like Mahomes and played as hard as I possibly could, mm-hmm. I think, man, for the next however long you'd live, 50 plus years, if you're having to sleep in your bed every night and think, man, if I had just made that one more throw, if I had made that one more run, and like, you know, things could have been different. We could have won, and I would have been, you know, I would have the glory forever. Mm-hmm. That would be tough to live with.
Now, I would like to add, since Gronko got to change the circumstances, I'm going to spin this.
Oh.
Even though Tom and I were not on the field, we could have been the backbone of the community in the locker room.
Yeah.
We could have been the moral support.
How do you know we weren't like, you know...
Y'all kept that Gatorade cold for sure. Like, y'all...
How do you know we're not like the Ryan Fitzpatricks that are like cheering everybody on, you know? We're like the old man that like, you know...
Kinda... We could easily be the David Carrs up to Eli Manning. Yeah.
We keep the morale up in the locker room.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
So, you know what?
We're the fun ones that
we
deserve our ride to Disneyland.
There are no right or wrong answers here. That's
what
why I was asking.
Well, you're the last one, so you're the tiebreaker. So let's hear your
MVP, baby. I'd be the star QB on the losing team.
Well, that was a good question. I still think it was bullshit that you changed it after I answered the damn question. But, you know, Gronko, I've known you long enough that I should have seen that coming. I should have seen the twist coming.
Yeah.
Especially when you said I had to answer first.
Yeah.
That's why during these podcasts I always ask so many clarifying questions, because it can be spun in any way you want.
Well, that is our show for tonight. Make sure you tune in, not this Monday coming up because this will be the show, but the Monday after. The show will be Old Millennial versus Young Millennial. Me and my sister go at each other because we're 10 years apart. And then the week after that will be our very first H-Town Get Down. So all of our Houston listeners, this will be tailored directly to you. Again, I want to say thank you so much for Becky and Gronko and Katie and Tom for collaborating with me on this show. I look forward to many more shows with everybody, and have a good week. Thanks for listening. Make sure to follow us on Instagram @sip_the_sauce. And make sure you check for new episodes wherever you get your podcasts. Have a great day.